where I've been and who I am, all the ways I've grown.
This isn't self-help, it's a full-on rebirth. Welcome to Girl Wake Up, the podcast for women who are done playing small, staying silent, or living by rules they never wrote. I'm Amy Polacco, journalist, divorce and life coach, and freedom warrior, and I'm here to help you take your power back. Because the system isn't going to save us. We need to save ourselves. So grab your coffee, your courage, and maybe a few curse words. It's time to wake up. Welcome to Girl Wake Up, everyone. I'm your host, Amy Polacco. So excited for today's fun topic with two amazing women who are my guests. I just want to say, for generations, right, jewelry has marked a woman's commitment to someone else. But lately, more women are buying rings for a different reason, to mark the end of something. They're called FU rings by many, a symbol of independence after divorce or even a difficult breakup. Some women repurpose their engagement or wedding rings. Others design something totally new. But either way, the message is the same. This chapter is mine. So I wrote about this trend for The Guardian. I'm so thankful that they ran the story. And today I'm joined by two women featured in that story. Alex Weinstein is an influencer who went viral after creating her own FU ring. And Molly Suarez is a jeweler who not only designed Alex's ring, but she designed her own. So she's going to tell us about that. And now she helps other women create theirs. So Alex and Molly, welcome to Girl Wake Up.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Yes. I love the name of your podcast.
Thank you. Yes. It's fitting for this topic, right, Molly?
It really is.
You know, yes, I called this podcast Girl Wake Up because I just think we're going through a collective reckoning, you know, for women, right? And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in the jewelry, right? We're seeing that word divorce ring, which we've heard thrown around, and we had a couple celebrities back in, I think, starting in 2024, mention that term. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, you know, what led you to create your FU ring?
So I was sitting with my ring for a couple months. I think it was August 2024 that decided to separate. So obviously I stopped wearing my ring around that time. And then March, literally a year ago from yesterday, was my 1 year anniversary since getting a divorce. And I remember when I actually got the finalization of the divorce, I went into my jewelry box and I was like, what am I going to do with this ring? And I was talking about it with my mom and I was thinking, like, do I want to put it into a necklace? Do I want to put it into a ring? Like, how do I want to repurpose this? And I kind of wasn't ready to like do anything just yet because it kind of feels this symbolic sort of feeling in a way. Once you tear that apart, like, it's really over, right? Like, and it sort of gives you this closure at the same time as well. And so when I was deciding between a ring or a necklace, I was like, first of all, I love wearing more expensive jewelry on my fingers. I feel like I don't lose them that way. My necklace is like, you know, they could tear off or something could happen. And I was just more afraid to do it into a necklace. And because I have a elongated radiant, I was like, I feel like I've never really seen anyone repurpose it, a divorce ring with an elongated radiant. I always saw it with, like, you know, more of a Molly, what's a circle one?
Help us, Molly.
Yeah.
Bezel set.
Yeah.
So a round diamond.
Yeah, a round diamond. I never really saw anything with like the elongated diamond. And so then I put up on my Instagram story, I want to create a divorce ring. And so many people in Tampa recommended Molly and West Shore, you know, diamond for it. So I was really excited. We connected, me and Molly. And then I think it was like maybe June or something I came to you. And then by the time we were done, it was like end of July. It was like a quick process. It was such a great experience working with you. Obviously, we like kind of like collaborated on just like different ideas, and we were looking at, you know, different inspiration, and it was really fun to kind of come to the idea with Molly on this ring.
It's breathtaking. I mean, show us. For those of you watching this on YouTube, you can see it. Ooh.
Yeah. And so Molly actually had this great idea of putting my birthstone on the back of it.
Well, yes, we can see it. Beautiful. Right, and for those of you listening to the podcast, go to the Guardian article. You can see it. You can follow Alex.
So she kind of was like, I said originally, like, Molly, I think I was like, I want to write something, engrave something. Obviously, it would have been so small to be able to like engrave on here. But she was like, I really think that you should put your birthstone on the back and just so you can have something for yourself, that it really feels something special to you. And the fact that it's like on the back of the ring, kind of closest to like my heart, if you would, it kind of feels, you know, really great to have that just like as a reminder, just to me, to see that, that it's just for me. So it's a blue, Molly, maybe you could correct me on like the exactly, is it opal? What is it? No, it's not opal.
No, it's your birthstone.
Yeah. Blue December. What's blue?
Oh yes. So it's blue zircon.
Zircon. Okay. There we go. So it's blue. And it's also kind of funny. I just thinking about this right now, but it's like my new something blue.
Hey. Oh,
yeah.
Good point, Alex. You know? Alex, we're going to come back to you because there's a lot more about your ring, but let's let Molly tell us about, you know, well, if you want to tell us about Alex's ring first, if you have any thoughts on it, and then we want to hear your personal story because you have an amazing one yourself.
Thank you. Yes. So I enjoyed working with Alex because she was ready. You really have to be mentally ready to make light of this situation. And she's been, it seemed to me that she had been through her hard times and her disappointment and her loss. And oh, there's so loud here.
Am I can hear it. We're good.
We can hear it.
So she had been through all of that before she saw me. And now it's almost like a coming out party.
Yeah, and I like that.
To create this ring, you know, she just was mentally ready for it. And I enjoyed that, I guess, enthusiasm behind her and designing the ring. And we, of course, had so much in common. I was proud of her also to make this situation better than what it felt like by doing this.
Right, and you're no stranger to these rings. Tell us about your story.
Right. So I have been working in the jewelry industry and a gemologist for 28 years and mostly selling engagement rings, right? So I had been around couples and their happy moments and then seeing their life's journey and working with many people that turned to, well, first they, you know, they get married and then they start with gifts of the babies and then anniversaries. And then you start to see a trend in time period of their lives where now they're maybe focusing in on themselves because.
Well, it's interesting, right? About half of marriages end in divorce. And I'll never forget, you know, this heart-wrenching moment. You ladies know I've been divorced twice. Now I'm a divorce coach. But when my son was in Montessori preschool and they have little photos up of families. And I remember saying to the teachers, like, my son will be the only one with two photos. And one of the teachers said to me, Amy, within 5-6 years, half of these families are going to be divorced. I didn't believe it. I looked at the photos. I said, no. Guess what? She was right. And not that I wish that on them, but I was so devastated at the time. But you know, so you have a divorce story yourself.
So I got married very young and that of course, not of course, but that didn't work out. And so my first divorce symbol in jewelry was taking the actual wedding band, the gold wedding band, and turning it into a toe ring.
Nice.
And that was huge for me because
You actually had that idea too for me to do with the extra stones that I still have because I still have extra stones. We should do that.
Yes. Because you see it every day. You look down and you're like, you know what? I am strong enough to stand on my own 2 feet. And
you're stepping into a new future, right?
And also, I think probably the most power behind it for me is no one's going to walk on me again. Mm. And so I feel like that was truly, and I wore it all through the years before my second husband. And then later, I divorced again. And so his divorce ring incorporated the diamond. And the diamond was a beautiful 3-carat round. It was my favorite cut. And I was sad because you're used to wearing a diamond. You're used to feeling like a princess. You know, it's jewelry, of course, diamonds, they bring a lot of emotion. So all of a sudden, you don't have that anymore. And it's just not fun. So I put it into an antique setting.
Which is featured in the article and is right. Beautiful. And why shouldn't we feel like a princess, you know, exactly. By our own volition, right?
Right.
I mean, we don't need someone else to make us feel that way, right? That's what this is all about.
Right. Yeah. Because we had best intentions for the marriage.
Of course. And
we're part of that ring. We're part of that chapter in our life. So why does it all get disregarded? I didn't like that. So I wore it on my middle finger and it was stunning. And I remarried. So I do not wear that ring anymore. But I just have a lot of experience with all of the emotions behind divorce and feeling, I think, uncomfortable in the beginning. To the transition to now feeling comfortable again in your skin. And so this is jewelry is powerful for that.
I think that like why I loved working with Molly so much too is like she was sharing her stories to me about that like she also had like a divorce ring and, you know, to feel that connection with someone. Cause there's a lot of times where I find, Molly, correct me if I'm wrong, but like it sort of feels like there's so many male jewelers. And it's hard to come by like a lot of women jewelers that maybe have like gone through the same thing as you. And sometimes when you're going to a male jeweler, you're like, well, wait a second. Like you don't really understand what I'm trying to even design or what I'm going through. And so to not only work with a female jeweler, but also work with someone that has been through divorce, has created her own ring, you know, you have a beautiful family, like you know, you have a new marriage. Like it was empowering for me to be able to work with someone that gave me so much inspiration as well, you know?
Thank you.
So
thank
you. I like that.
So Alex, your photo of your ring went viral online. Tell us about it for those who haven't seen it.
So it was right when I picked up the ring from Molly's. I came right from a workout. I was like all sweaty. And then I get in my car, I FaceTime my parents, and I had it originally made for my pointer finger. So it was supposed to be on my pointer finger like that.
Right.
And then I got in the car and my dad was like, you should put that on your middle finger. Like, it's like kind of like an F you, you know? And I was like, oh damn, you're right. And it's funny because those two fingers are the same size, like sizing. So it worked perfectly. And then I put it on and I think I opened up the TikTok app and let TikTok just decide the music. Like you could just, sometimes it will just put a sound for you. And it was like the perfect sound. And I just, you know, stuck up the middle finger and it kind of went viral. And I remember I texted Molly and I said, hey, look, do you want me to like collab post on this with you? Like, I'm kind of being a little vulgar, like posting the middle finger up, but it is going viral right now. So I'll collaborate with you on this post. And she was like, that's so our brand. Like we love empowering women, or you said something like that, Molly. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what you said, but you were like, no, we love that. Like, do it. And I think it was such an empowering thing. And I was getting tagged in videos on TikTok of other women creating divorce rings after, or even wearing it on their middle finger. And I think there was something so cool about that to know that, you know, sometimes when I talk about divorce stuff online, which I do talk about a lot of my divorce things, and I like to turn it into humor in a way to cope myself, but also like empower other women that you don't have to look at it as such a negative thing. I think that I was nervous for the comments on this one, just because of how I was acting in it and the song choice. And it was just all these amazing women commenting in it, like uplifting and finding out, wanting to find out like where I got the ring done and, you know, asking Molly questions and stuff like that. So it turned out better than I would have anticipated it to have, you know, just,
yeah, I agree.
I think you validated. I think you validated for so many women what they're thinking, right? And didn't Rachel Moon comment, hook a girl up, and then she's in our article, and then she talked to Molly too and created her ring. So I think you gave voice to what so many women are thinking. And that's what I want to ask both of you is that, why do you think this is happening now? Because it seems to me that we're going through a metamorphosis of this clean, neat, tidy divorce ring comment and term, right? To the FU ring. And it is indicative of what's happening in our society, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that like for me personally, it wasn't like I was trying to do it as like an FU. You know, there was no animosity. I was actually on great terms with my ex-husband at the time. And there was nothing that wanted to be like, you know, F you in total to him. You know, I think that it was really something powerful to me. And then it just turned into like a, well, F off. Like I could do what I want, you know, when I want, like Olivia Dean, you know, she's like, there's that one song that she's like, I could do whatever, whenever the F I want, you know? And I think that there's something so powerful that just happened naturally from that. And I think that's what came across in that video and what people are you know, latching onto. It's not necessarily like the FU part. It's like the, I could do whatever, whenever the hell I want kind of vibe. And I think that that is what the message came off to be.
What do you think, Molly? And what you're saying?
I think it's letting go of the shame that surrounds divorce. Mm-hmm. No good marriage ends in divorce. And so, and so there are, and especially women, we think about it, you know, I guess there's a study where we think about it 10 times more before it happens. And so we just carry guilt. And now when other women are talking about it and because we have social media, we can see more of these women. And then hopefully your algorithm gives you more of these topics to look at.
Right.
But I think there's just so many of us and now we can see each other and talk to each other about it and let go of that shame.
Yeah, that's so true. Like I feel there's been a whole other side of a community on social media now.
Yes.
Based on your algorithm too and what you're looking for, right? And you know, to get messages of women going through it and being like asking me questions or how did you know when it was time to leave? Or, you know, it just seems there's so much negativity sometimes surrounding social media, but there could be so much positivity at the same time. And I think it's what you, you know, try and look at it and take from it what you can, right? You know, comparison is the thief of joy. So sometimes you look at, you know, other people's relationships when you're navigating a divorce and online on social media, everyone's romanticizing their life, right? And you're looking at that, oh my God, they have such a perfect relationship, this, that. Me and my ex looked like we had the perfect relationship from the outside, coming from someone that was on social media, but it really wasn't real. And so I think I vowed to myself to never, you know, put that out there and make other people feel like you have it all together when you really don't. And I think that the messy and the messy is part of the beautiful life that you live. And I think now, you know, girls are waking up, like just like your podcast are saying, and not settling. And, you know, this goes for men too. Like, you know, it's not just all the men are terrible, you know, some men could decide to not settle and leave as well. And, you know, I had a guy recently ask me, well, what should I do for my divorce ring? Right. And I was like, oh, like,
hey,
I was like, okay, like, you know, pop off. So I really just think it's about empowering anyone in this situation to never settle, to choose yourself, to love yourself. And, you know, don't feel as bad if you're still carrying around the trauma and the guilt. Like Molly was kind of saying something about guilt. And I really resonated with that. I was on FaceTime this morning with one of my best friends, just saying how sometimes I wake up and I still feel this like trauma, right? Of things that I went through. And she was like, it's normal. Like the body takes so long to respond to that and get rid of that. So I think it's just about giving yourself grace and putting yourself first.
And a lot of people think that they're going to look down at their old diamond and be reminded of all of that. And that's, I try to remind them that that's only if you let it, that's only if you let it.
Right.
Power over you. And we, in our minds, can do whatever we want. And so we can turn that power into positive power just as easily. And so I think it's a lighter conversation, but I almost, now that I'm listening to Alex and how it transpired for us,
yeah.
I think maybe divorce rings does need a jeweler that kind of helps you feel good about it, totally. About the choice.
That's,
and the
design. That's definitely true. I think everything you're saying, Alex, is so powerful in this shift that we're seeing, right? And
yeah.
By the way, you know, as a divorce coach, I help many women through the trauma, you know, and yeah. after divorce often too. Yeah. And I tell them it's a process, right? And you know, there was a book written, The Body Keeps the Score. Like it takes a while for our nervous system to relax. And hopefully looking down at the ring helps that. And I just want to say anecdotally that, you know, once in a while, do I get men who comment on Instagram or whatever about how I am, you know, the devil and breaking up families and all of these things. But the reality is that so many of us we're so committed to our marriages. Like even when an outsider hears about it, often I hear my clients' stories and I'm like, I can't believe you stayed this long. Wow.
Yes.
Because I think we as women, whether we have children or we don't, have to be able to put our head on the pillow at night knowing we did everything to save that union. And I'm not saying 100% of us are so perfect all the time,
yeah.
but that's most of us, right?
Yeah. And actually my mom said that. I remember there was, you know, we started having some problems. It was like March 2024 and then April 2024, I was about to leave. And I walked out the door, got in my car with my dog and I was like leaving him. And my mom said, did he agree to couples counseling? And I said, yes. And she was like, so turn the car back around. You're going to go do that so that you know that you tried everything that you could have done. And it was like the best advice that my mother gave me, because looking back, it's like, I have no regrets. There was no, oh, we should have done that. We should have done this. We should have, you know, and feeling like you were able to, like you just said, to be able to put your head on the pillow and be like, I did everything that I possibly could. And like Molly said before, I wanted to leave so much longer before I left. So it was like, when I was out of the marriage, it was like, I was sort of ready. You have to get used to being alone. I think that was the transitional phase. It's like sleeping alone again. Like, not that I was, oh my God, I love him. I want to go back to him. It was more like missing that companionship. But what companionship is that really, when like there were such awful things that were happening? But besides the point, you know, and I think that's what was getting used to. So when I was ready to do my ring, and this is what any advice I would have for anyone that wants to do a divorce ring.
Good, yeah.
Make sure that you are actually ready emotionally to wear this thing, like Molly was just saying, because I was ready to do a change. It took me almost a year. I think I picked up the ring, Molly, which was crazy, a year to the date that I left him.
Right.
And that just happened by accident. Like, that was just the universe working in that way. And I was ready to wear that ring. I've moved on. And so that's my advice to other women that want to create it.
Right. And I think it's important that don't make a rash decision. I mean,
no,
I sold both of my rings. I regret it now. Right. Like, you know, many of the women I interviewed, they said, I put it in a drawer for a while, or, you know, Rachel had bought a diamond she loved, you know, so don't rush.
Go ahead. Again, working with a jeweler and especially a woman that's been through it, I think it helps in the decision and the process of getting rid of the trauma, because I don't see someone making their own ring by themselves. I don't see someone, you know, quickly finding something online and having their jeweler set the diamond without, I guess,
the process.
Some type of emotional conversation behind it and support, I guess. So,
well, it's funny. The other jewelers who were part of the story, and I met them here in Connecticut, and they said, hey, we're hearing this term FU ring a lot with our customers. Yeah. They often joke, and I bet you feel the same way, that they should have a sign, the therapy is for free.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Right? Like, I'm charging you maybe to design a new ring, but we know this is going to be a therapy session. Right?
Yeah. No. And all of our trauma is meant to be shared if you have the strength to do it, because we do need to hear others' experiences, and it's healing for us to share it as well. Okay. So the environment that I have in my office is one-on-one by appointment.
Yep.
And so we really have the space to be able to do that.
What if someone lives, you know, I have listeners all over the country. You also work remotely with people, right?
Right. Just like we're doing now, I have my door closed and we feel just as close.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sitting across from each other. Yep.
I want to address, ladies, that this isn't about hating men. You know, Alex mentioned it a little bit, right? And that's why I made that crystal clear in the article I wrote in The Guardian about this and talked to Marcy Bianco, who's amazing. And I'm going to have her on the podcast. We're going to talk about where feminism is now. But, you know, when people think, oh, these FU rings are just about man-hating and it's crude and it's rude, they're missing the whole point. And I thought that Marcy Bianco explained it perfectly in the Guardian article, is that this is about F you to those standards we've been held to these roles we've been constrained to. This is about our own liberation. And it really doesn't have to do with you. It has to do with me, right? And what do you think?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could agree with that totally, because it's kind of also like an F you to like who I used to be and like who I'm about to become. You know, I think that there's something where you're sort of waking up through all of this, and it's like,
girl, wake up.
Like, girl, wake up. Like, that's what I've been through. This is where I'm becoming. And like, how strong am I? And like, what do they say? Like, you literally cannot scratch a diamond, right? So there's something so, Molly, that's right, right? Like,
yes. Scratch. Yeah.
So when you're like, when you're re-empowering yourself with this diamond, it's like, no one can hurt me. You know, it's kind of this like armor that you now have. That's like an F you to not allowing people to scratch you anymore. Right. And there's so much symbolicness into the diamond for just anyone that's trying to empower themselves in any which way.
And sometimes being vulgar is shocking, but that's what you need to push yourself. It's like in those moments when you feel weak, you can say or be reminded of something powerful to give you, you know, to stand up taller. And sometimes it looks like words like F word. Yeah.
sometimes it's good to say it.
Fake it till you make
it. Yeah, like it's going to like the, what is it? Like the rage rooms, you know, like sometimes.
Right,
just
exactly.
To rage out and get it off your chest.
Well, it's funny. Before my 17-year-old son went to school today, I'm like, Max, look, my Guardian article's in Apple News. He's like laughing about the FU ring. Yeah. You know, I'm like, you don't get it, honey.
Yeah. It's okay. Hopefully you'll never get it.
Yeah, exactly. Someday. But, you know, I want to move on to this segment that I do here on Girl Wake Up called Truth or Trap, right? Where I present a common societal idea or something thrown around about women, and I would love for you to react to it. Here's one. Divorce culture is becoming too celebratory.
Which options what are the options?
Is it truth or is it a trap for women? That comment.
A trap, because you use the word too. You use the word too. It's not to anything. It is what it is.
Yeah, preach. It's so true.
Exactly. And look, there are many advocates of marriage who think, you know, we should end no-fault divorce. I have written about this as a journalist. I've spoken out publicly. I was on a national news program maybe a year or two ago, and I was pitted against someone whose husband wanted to divorce her, but she thought he should be forced to stay married to her. And so, So, you know, I don't think divorce culture being celebratory and celebrating women's power and self-love and self-determination means that we don't value marriage, right, ladies? I mean, Molly, you're married for the third time, so you clearly believe in it.
I do. No. I do. The companionship, and we all enjoyed while we were married. And I remember feeling proud that I have someone by my side that loves me, you know, supposedly all of the parts of me. So that part is wonderful. But with women now, you know, it's not 100 years ago. Women now have jobs to support themselves. Mm-hmm. So we do not have to put up with the roles that were put in place or in
society's head sometimes.
It's still in the minds of of traditional conservative, you know, lifestyle. And mm-hmm. and so we don't have to put up with that anymore. And 100 years ago, they shouldn't have either. But, mm-hmm. you know, we're getting better. Every year we're getting better, but there's still a long way to go.
Right. And there's still people out there who want us to go backwards. Correct. And so, you know, we see these studies. I've written about it. I wrote an article for Newsweek back in November about how more women are staying single after divorce, right? So mm-hmm. more young women, pointing to you, Alex, as Molly, you and I yeah. are more, you know, is that deciding to stay single longer? Can yeah. you speak about that, Alex, at all? I mean, what do you see? And what do you tell women who they, you know, revere yeah. you as a role model, and rightly so, for your
yeah.
influencer status?
It's like, oh, okay, I'm an influencer on like getting a divorce. Great. No. So, I mean, I posted something on TikTok a couple weeks ago, and now it's starting to get traction. And it was like, I love being single. And I just repeated it. I was like, I love being single. And the amount of men, this went on the wrong side of TikTok, but the amount of men that were just commenting on it being like, oh, well, you're just used and abused. Like, this is why you're going to be the best friend next door, like, for the rest of your life. Just, like, all this nonsense. And I was like, what is just this so much hate when, like, a woman is like, I don't need a man, right? Like, yeah. I don't need a man. And then I'm not hating on men in general. I'm hating on these type of men that are commenting these things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what am I doing that's bothering you that I'm able to, like, be in my car, have a smile on my face, and say, I love being single. And truth be told, I do love being single right now. We want to know why? Because I was in a relationship since I was 24 years old, and I'm 32 now, and I'm discovering so many parts of myself, and I'm discovering how to be in love with myself again. And I think that is what you need to be able to be in, I believe, in another successful marriage in my future will bank on my own happiness, because I don't believe that your happiness should only come from your partner. I think that you should be happy and in a great place before you get into another relationship. And I think that there's so much trauma and there's so much work that I have on myself. I'm freezing my eggs now so that I won't have that, you know, feeling of that biological clock ticking that I need to settle down. Yeah. You know, I really want to be selective. I've never been a girl that was just relationship after relationship, like with like no time in between. I've really been someone that has probably had like a year to 2 years in between relationships to really discover myself. And now, you know, I'm 32. I've been single for a little over a year now, and there's no one in my sight right now, but I'm just really enjoying this time being with myself.
Right. And I think women are changing their standards and saying, you know, I want a real partnership of equals. I think some of the men you're talking about, they comment on my stuff sometimes too, are threatened by that. Yes, and I've even seen comments like, oh yeah, it's great to be single until there's a home invasion. Like, who's going to protect you? And I have to remind them, like, oh, I'm sure you know,
they're like, I'm sure you took 50% of his money. I'm like, what? Like, there was a, but you know, and even in my divorce, like our money was completely separate. So there was not even any money transactions that happened. So I'm like, people are just making things up based on what they think the notion of divorce is, right? And I think
those men are jealous.
Oh, of totally. Yes,
because they need a woman.
Yes, exactly.
Precisely.
And I think that's, it just goes to show that there does need to be more of these conversations that are celebrating divorce in a sense, because it's like, why are we looking at it in such a bad light? And I mean, there's obviously bad things that happen with divorce, but to see a good light from it, I think that it's like, why do we have to hide behind this? Like, oh, this is embarrassing that I got divorced. It's like, no, it's actually really freaking cool when you chose yourself and you got out at the right time. And I think that, you know, you're going to find the right person. And it's like, I would never want to live a life where I talk about this quote a lot, but it's like, we're always scared that we're going to die, right? But we forget to live in the moment. So it's like every single day that we have is so precious. And why are we going to be stuck in something that is unhappy, that is making us unhappy? That's actually wasting more of those days that, you know, you are counting on. So I really think back to that quote a lot and that way of thinking, because I think it's so powerful.
Right. Well said. And I think here's the thing. These people who don't like this too bad. Like, the train has left the station. Putting this genie back in the bottle. I mean, it is national, it's international. And I think that's what drives some people crazy who want to keep women small. What parting words would you have for women before we wrap up, Molly?
Oh, I want the women that are broken, that are on their knees, that can't imagine getting out. I want them to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and to push yourself to do what's right for you, and put yourself back together. You can do that, but you have to be strong enough to leave. And when you are, you have a support around you. You find the people that will love you and put you back together. I had so many people reach out to me during my second divorce that were in mothers in school with my kids. Their kids were in school, and it was like the time period of people waking up. And so, like, first, second, third grade, these mothers would reach out and say, tell me how you did it. Tell me what you did, you know, or, and so, and even here in the office, when the women come in, it's hard for them in that period.
Right.
And so I would give them a divorce basket with like a Jesus candle and a meditation coloring book and chai tea. And it's just like taking time for yourself, but to love yourself enough to get out of that situation. And it's really tough for women. Mm-hmm. But when you do, we can celebrate it, and you can be independent.
Right. And notice she did not say everybody, you know, voodoo doll in the basket or anything like that. It's all about self-care, right? And what you're describing is exactly how I became a divorce coach, right? Like, it went through my town. People said, call Amy. Don't do anything before you call her or talk to her. And then I became a coach, and my heart has led me to this work. And, you know, so we're all led to this in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. Alex, as an influencer, Molly, you're helping people create their FU rings. And that is so incredible. I think the common thread among all of us is that after we get through this, we all feel this desire to reach back and help the women behind us, right? Who are still perhaps in that situation. And, you know, I think it's an amazing, amazing thing. Anything you want to say, Alex, before we sign off?
There was two things. One, I was going to say Molly's office feels like you're going to a home, like your own home. So I have to give you credit for that, Molly. It's very like, it's not your typical like scary looking like jewelry store where there's like so many things. It really feels one-on-one and feels so authentic being there. It feels like you're in your own home. And I love that you have that feel towards that. It's like whether someone's coming to you, you know, for the big moment of popping the question, right? Or coming and needing to cry on the couch, you know, I think that you really have this like warmness into your place. And I really love that. Thank you. And then, you know, for the message that I have for anyone, you know, going through all this, you know, to follow what Molly said is yes, like the strength is definitely needed. And I think I felt this level of like embarrassment, especially because I came from a very short marriage that was only 8 months. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so embarrassed. Like this just happened. And I remember my parents just saying to me like, oh, you didn't settle. How is that embarrassing? Like you're getting out. So I think that there's this level of, you know, talking to yourself or talking to people around you to let you know that it's not embarrassing. It is never embarrassing to admit that you're unhappy. And the longer that you sit with it, the more unhappy you're going to be. So like, if you just have to pull off that band-aid and be uncomfortable for like a conversation or a week or a month or 2 months, 3 months, your life afterwards is going to be so much greater. So just rip off that band-aid, have the conversation, even like my ex and I had little conversations before we had the big conversation, right? So, you know, it's not just like, oh, here's papers, like I want to get a divorce, right? There is little conversations. So I do believe that it is important to just rip that off, deal with the uncomfortable, because once you deal with the uncomfortable, then the comfortable comes in after. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If it's meant to be, it'll be.
Like, right. I know someone that's gone into divorce and then they've gone back together. I'm like, they're so, you know, they just needed the time apart. And so for that, I'm so happy for them. So if it is meant to be, it will be. But, you know, even separating.
Be brave.
Yeah, be brave. Exactly. Even just separating for a couple months. We did no contact for a month and a half to 2 months before we decided that we were fully going to, you know, get a divorce. So I think that that is so powerful too. You don't have to just think about, oh, I need to go get a divorce. You can also think about, let's separate for a little bit, take some time apart. And I think people forget that that is an option to do.
I think those are powerful words to leave on. And that is an option when it's amicable, right? I have a lot of clients who are dealing with abuse situations where different. But thank you. Thank you both so much. I know your stories are going to help so many. How can everybody find you, Molly?
My website is westshorediamond.com, and it's West Shore, like North Shore or East, you know, it's West Shore, one word. And our Instagram is the same, and TikTok, everything is West Shore Diamond.
And Alex.
So Alexander J on Instagram and on TikTok, it's Alexander J5.
Thank you both so, so much. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Girl Wake Up. I'm your host, Amy Polacco. If this episode woke something up in you, don't let it fade. Share it with a friend who needs to hear it. Leave a review and keep this conversation going. Remember, no one's coming to save you. So she did.